several years ago now, three graduating seniors at Azusa Pacific University in Southern California Christian College were called to a special gathering of alumni, new faculty, board members, and the president, John Wallace. The president of the university, upon graduation, these three students were planning to spend 2 years serving in India amongst the extremely impoverished. The three students assumed that they were being invited to this meeting by the university leadership to be commissioned and encouraged, and they certainly would be. Something else had been planned for them to which they were unaware. Dr. Wallace called the three students together and said, "I have some exciting news for you. Someone you don't know has appreciated that you're planning to go to India for 2 years to work with less fortunate people. Apparently they're going to pay their own way to go. These friends of the university have chosen to give gifts to the school in your names and on your behalf. The donors want to remain anonymous." Then he looked to the first student and said, "On behalf of the donors, you are forgiven of your $105,000 debt to the university." The president then turned to the second student and said, "You also are forgiven your debt of $70,000 to the university." And to the third student, he looked and said, "You have been forgiven your debt of $130,000 to the university." And as you imagine, in a meeting like that, cheers begin to take place, sporadic praising of God, tears of joy begin to overflow, spilling out of people's hearts and thanking God. That's a gift of grace. Amen. That's an abounding gift over the accrued debts of these students. They were all now free of their debts. It's not exactly like the gospel, but it pictures it in just a little way, and that is in the abundant giving of some. But God commended his love toward us, not because we were going to India to work with less fortunate people for 2 years, but while we were sinning against them, Christ died for us. Poured out abundant grace. Poured out abundant grace. Take your Bible and turn to Titus chapter 3 today. We're in the book of Titus, continuing our study, and we'll be looking at verses 4 through 7. Titus chapter 3 and verses 4 through 7. Titus 3, starting in verse 4. "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." According to the hope of eternal life. Today, poured out abundant grace. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, dear Lord, another day to serve you, to praise you and to adore you. We realize our sinful condition, dear Lord, the miry clay, the flesh, the wickedness, the exceeding wickedness of man, even in our own hearts. While we were going headstrong away from you, dear Lord, you reached out. You poured out abundant grace. You drew us to yourself. And you saved us from our sins. Oh God, I just pray that if there's someone here today who doesn't know that abounding grace that has taken place in their hearts. I pray they would know it today. I pray they would receive it. I pray they would see it. I ask that you would open their eyes to see Christ on the cross, high and lifted up, the Holy One being slain for our sins. Not only the sins of the whole world, which is amazing, but for our own personal wickedness. I thank you so much, Christ, for that sacrifice that you descended from heaven. Born of a virgin, taken on humanity, so that you might be the sacrifice, the righteous payment for sins, for our sins. I love you, Lord. We love you today. We praise you. We pray that you would conform us to your image. We pray that our desires would be set upon your word. Pray that Satan would have no advantage over us. We pray that fiery darts would be removed from our heart and our minds. That we'd be focused upon you, to believe upon you, to trust in you. You would revive our hearts and our minds to see the glory of the cross and the eternal life that's coming. Thank you that we are children of God through faith right now and have eternal life. But that our full inheritance and understanding of that is so limited, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, give us a taste of the partaking of the holy nature of Christ, which is our privilege. And Lord, the longing of your heart is that we would be where you are, that we might behold your glory. I long for that day, dear Lord, to be with you. You said if we would gather together in your name, dear Lord, you would manifest your presence to us, and we ask you to do that right now. Let your living word transform our heart and lives. May we believe it and live in its power. And all God's people say, amen. Some of you know I started a little exhortation on reading a book per month. Maybe we're going to give you 2 months on this one. If you listen to it on audio, it takes about 3.5 hours. And that is John Bunyan's Grace Abounding to the Chiefest of Sinners. And don't tell me you can't do it, because the average ball game lasts 2.5-3 hours, and you have no problem watching that and listening to it. No problem. I'm only talking to the hungry today. I'm only talking to the hungry today that want to be filled with God Himself. The rest of you can just go to sleep. But I'm only talking to the hungry. I'm only talking to those who aren't satisfied in the things of the world. Those are the hungry. I'm only talking to those who know the sufficiency of Christ, and the joy of the Lord is their strength, and those who cry out on a regular basis, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." I'm only talking to those today. Are you one of them? Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love, the down-dragging influences of the world over and over again. And yet we got to look through this glass darkly, this veil, and see the face of Jesus Christ by opening up the Word and live in His presence. Satan doesn't desire that, I can promise you, but God the Father does. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to Him. Wow. this Puritan pastor of the past and writing Grace Abounding to the Chiefest of Sinners. By the way, he wrote another one. Most of you are more familiar with that one probably. What is it? Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan writes of his own drawing of the Lord in his life, and he's blatantly honest about it. He tells of his journey of, it's just, as I use the word again, blatantly sinning against God with cursing and drinking and girls and many blasphemies against God's authority. This was in his later teens, and one kindly lady said in the city, after hearing him using curse words about every other sentence, he said, "I had a problem beginning a sentence with the curse word and ending one with the curse word." John Bunyan. She said to him, "Your wicked influence may ruin the youth of this entire town if it continues." Then he goes on switching, if you will, and tries to make himself well-pleasing to God by making good moral choices, a kind of a self-reformation, and becoming acceptable to God, or so he thought. And he writes in that biography, if you will, another thing he was going to give up was his dancing. It was a full year before I could quite leave that one. But all this while, when I thought I kept this or that commandment or did by word or deed anything that I thought was good, I had great peace in my conscience and should think of myself, God cannot choose but be now pleased with me. Yea, to relate it in my own way, I thought no man in England could please God better than I. Self-reformation. I'm a good moral guy now. Nobody better in England that God could be happy with than me. This is the way he was thinking. But upon a day, the good providence of God did cast me to Bedford to work on my calling. That's his self-righteous calling. And in one of the streets of the town, I came where there were three or four poor women sitting at a door in the sun, and they were talking about the things of God, and being now willing to hear their discourse, I drew near to hear what they would say. For I was now a brisk talker, also myself in the matters of religion, but now, may I say, I heard, but I understood not. For they were far off, out of my reach, for their talk was about a new birth, the work of God on their hearts. Also how they were convinced of their miserable state by nature. They talked how God had visited their souls with His love in the Lord Jesus, and with what words and promises they had been refreshed, comforted, and supported against the temptations of the devil. Moreover, they reasoned that the suggestions and temptations of Satan in particular, and told to each other by which they had been afflicted. You know, Satan's always fighting us. Amen? It's always up to something no good. Attacking the mind and the hearts of people through lies. And then he says, and how they were borne up under his assaults. They also discoursed of their own wretchedness of heart, of their unbelief, and did contempt, slight, and abhor their own righteousness as filthy and insufficient to do them any good. That shows you they're truly born again. No, my friend, it's not only the immoral people that die in their sins and go to hell. It's the moral people too. We might be 99.3% pure, but it's not pure enough, is it? We've got to have the purity of Jesus Christ. By the way, none of us are 99.3% pure like Dove soap. Ivory soap, excuse me. Blasphemy to Dove. Ivory soap. In our passage today, we're talking about spiritual birth. The necessity for us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, yes. But first of all, we've got to be transformed by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, for spiritual birth. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. So we're talking about a spiritual birth that's a one-time cleansing of the heart that takes place. Look in verse 4 again. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. The kindness, we looked at that, it's a word meaning human kindness. God was kind to man and offering His love and salvation. What was the offering? His Son. If somebody offers their child for you, your benefit, knowing it's going to hurt their child, folks, that's not natural, is it? Yes or no? No, it's not natural. But God's love is supernatural. And the greater good would take place only one way, if His own Son were to die. Wow. God the Son. Verse 4 tells us that God is our Savior. Earlier in a passage we saw in verse 13 of chapter 2 that the great God and Savior is Jesus Christ. So we see God the Father, we see God the Son, and now we're going to see in verse 5 God the Holy Spirit. This is the true God. God in three persons. Look at verse 5. We were not saved by works of righteousness which we have done. So Bunyan went from being an immoral, cursing, blasphemer, womanizing, drunkard in his later teens and earlier 20s, later on to be a Puritan preacher and renounced all these things as wickedness. But he also renounced something else. You know what he renounced? Moralism as a means of being accepted by God. These are the people that keep the Ten Commandments so God will save them. How many think they're going to get saved by keeping the Ten Commandments? We won't do it, folks. The law is seen as one piece, and as James says, if you've broken one, the thing's broken, that's it. How many remember that illustration I gave of Sarah when she was a little girl, and I said, honey, you do this and this, and I'll buy you one of those Hershey bars, chocolate Hershey bars. You know, it's got about 8 or 10 pieces in it. I'm willing to find out if someone will buy me one. I'll count them. You know, just put it on my desk. But Ray, isn't that a sneaky way to get a candy bar? But anyway, you know, you can snap off a little piece. Yes or no? Everybody know what we're talking about? Kind of little blocks in a row there. And I went and pulled into the store, you know, and bought her a Hershey bar, said she wanted that. And she's just a little tight, you know, sitting in the chair still, you know, 3 or 4, whatever. And I snapped off of 2 pieces of it, popped it in my mouth, and gave her the rest of it. And then I heard a... I said, what kind of drama is this? Come on. It's not good enough. The candy bar is not good enough. And you know what she said? She said, Dad, you promised me a candy bar. I said, what do you got? You know, unwrapped it, it's right here. You pulled it back some, break it. She said, this is part of a candy bar. Back to the store. Give me that one. You can. Was she right? Yes. When you break apart, it's no longer whole, is it? And folks, that's what we've done. We've all broken the laws of God. We not broke one part, we broke the whole thing. In word, thought, and deed. We need to be baptized. Listen carefully. We need to be baptized into the family of God. I say that again. We need to be baptized into the family of God. You might want to say amen right there, and then I'll give you an understanding. How many of you jump into water baptism in your mind already? Well, you're not following me if you jump into water baptism, because that's contrary to what the Bible teaches. This passage will bear it out. Some people have tried to actually use this passage to promote water baptism as a means of getting saved. And folks, that's simply not true. 1 Corinthians 12:13, you want to write that one down. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, or have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Is the water we being baptized into, or are we being baptized by the Holy Spirit? Tell me. The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. This word washing here that we see in verse 5 says that our great God appeared, not by works of righteousness is our salvation done, but according to His mercy, not giving us what we deserve, He saved us, that means to deliver us from our sins, by, through these means, washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. The word washing here is not our normal word for water baptism, which is baptizo, which means go down into the water. But this is the word lutron, a common word for taking a bath. A common word for taking a bath. It means here, in the spiritual sense, that we were covered from head to toe with the sin in our hearts. Covered with dirt. Covered with sin from head to toe in our hearts. And God, the Holy Spirit, had to wash us and make us clean. That's what it means. Doesn't even mention water baptism here. It's not even in the picture. He's talking about spiritual baptism. And if you haven't had a spiritual baptism, you're not saved. All saved people are baptized into the body of Christ. The one body is the body of Christ. Doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, it's the same way. Doesn't matter if you're chained as a slave. Doesn't matter if you have no chains on you at all. All are made to drink into one Spirit. That's salvation. The Holy Spirit of God convinces you of the truth of God, that Christ is who He says He is, and you believe upon Him in your heart, and you're saved from your sins, and it happens instantaneously. It's not over a process of time. It's immediate. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Folks, Jesus is the glory of God. And as we believe upon Him as our Savior, the moment we do that, we become part of the glory of God. Boy, I love that. As we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, as many as believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, they are partakers of the divine nature. What a privilege. How many of you start watching something on occasion and going this way, going south, whatever you want to call it, and you just get sick of it? Why is it? Never bothered you before. I remember certain things I watched when I was younger, and I'd tell somebody, you know, so-and-so, and then I'd say, yeah, I'm going to get that and watch it again. And I get it and I watch it again. I'm like, oh my soul, what is this filth? This is disgusting. You ever had that happen? What happened? Who changed? Not the film. It's the same old thing. They got it on DVD now, not VHS. Know what changed is me. Something on the inside doesn't desire that anymore. Why is it? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. You know, we don't work unto man. Did you know that? People working unto men are just trying to get a paycheck. And when we're working unto the Lord, that settles it. Some people recognize it and appreciate it. Some won't. And as my dad used to say, so what? Some will, some won't, so what? And folks, that's really the truth. When we're working unto the Lord, we leave it to the Lord. He knows our hearts. He knows that we got a higher thing going on than just the eyes of men. We have the eyes of God upon us. And that's why we want to do an excellent work. But excellent work doesn't save us. We want to do an excellent work because we are saved. We want to adorn like a garment the gospel of Jesus Christ. Makes all the difference in the world. So spiritual baptism does take place before any rite or ordinance of water baptism. I will say that. In Acts 8:12, for instance, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, they did what? They believed Philip, that's salvation. When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. They were spiritually baptized first when they believed, and then they were baptized in water. Water baptism is a picture of the spiritual baptism that's taking place in our heart. That's all it is. That's all it is. Acts 8:35-38. You remember this, don't you? Then Philip opened his mouth. He was teaching this Ethiopian eunuch. Had all the treasures there of the queen. He began at the same scripture was Isaiah and preached unto him Jesus. Who is this who was wounded for our transgressions? Bruised for our iniquities. And Philip told this man, that's Jesus. Isaiah 53 is talking about Jesus. Search the scriptures, Jesus said. You'll find they're all talking about me. That's how you know you're understanding it. Run to Christ, you'll understand it. All those pictures, there comes the Lamb. John said, here comes the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He doesn't cover up our sin. He washes it away when we believe upon Him. That's a big difference. Acts 8:35. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And they went on their way and came into a certain water. I was at that spot, by the way, in Israel. Pretty exciting. We were walking along the road. And this guy said, now do you see that inlet of water here? I said, nope. There was little trees here and there. Didn't like there's any water around whatsoever. Didn't like there's any water whatsoever. And he goes, oh yeah, there's water right here. And there was a stream running in the desert. And you could actually walk down in there and get baptized. And they believe that's where this Ethiopian eunuch got baptized. So this eunuch, carrying the, who was a manager of the queen's treasury, he said, here's water. Yeah, I love a guy who knows what's going on, don't you? The water's right here. You're in the desert. Oh, yeah, the water's right here. And he said, what hinders me from getting baptized then? Here's water. And this is what Philip said. Now, when you get real good morally, Kent, is that what he said? No. He said, when you join Tabernacle Baptist Church, did he say that? When you give a big fat offering, did he say that? No. When you go to India for 2 years, did he say that? No. Here's what he said. Here's water. What does hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said, basically said this, what's use in getting baptized in water if you haven't believed? That's what he says. Philip said this, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered, said, this man said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Folks, that's salvation. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. That's water baptism. For those who have believed that the Holy Spirit has washed their hearts clean in salvation from their sins. Why is the gospel so important to be even preached to saved people? So we can be reminded where we were and where we're going. So we can be reminded where we were and where we're going. Saved, delivered from our sins. Saved from the penalty of our sins. One day we're going to be saved from the very presence of sin. Oh, I'm so looking forward to that. In John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, this religious man, moral man, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So this first word right here, the Holy Spirit's work in performing this mercy and salvation of us from our sins is the washing of regeneration. Regeneration means to have a new birth, to be born again, to have another birth is what it means. The washing of regeneration. And then our next word here is renewal. Renewal. Look at this. Not only does the Holy Spirit do the washing of regeneration, to be born again, to regenerate, but also the Holy Spirit's work is that of renewing. Renewing. Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. That's renewing. You know why I come to the house of God on Sunday? Yes, because you're the pastor of the church. Well, that's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons I go. I come because I want to be renewed in Christ. I come because I want to look into this glorious book we have here that will transform our character into the character of Jesus Christ. And I want to feed upon it. I want to dig out those words and find out what they mean. I want to know what I'm talking about. I want to rightly divide the word of truth. And I want to live the truth. Because I'm tired of living in lies. Anybody ever been tired of living lies? Satan's just lying, lying, lying. Satan does three things. Please tell us what it is. Lies, lies, lies. He throws filthy and perverse things in your heart and mind that are contrary to the will of God and tries to make you to desire it. Oh, why don't you just go ahead and live in malice and ill will, hating and hating other people? No, that's what you do when you're not saved. That's what you do when you're without Christ. We're to be reminded that we don't live that way anymore. Conviction of the Holy Spirit renewal is sometimes saying, you're wrong in your malice or your ill will toward one another, and you need to be renewed in your heart and your mind. It's easy to be angry with people in the world. It's easy just to go on right along with the world. Malice, envy, hating and hating one another. Where did you get all that from? I got it from the last sermon, which is verse 3 in chapter 3. We were sometimes foolish, disobedient to God, deceived by Satan, serving all kind of lust and pleasures, living in malice, the general state of ill will, envy, not getting what other people have and always desirous of that. By the way, that's why they put Jesus to death. The religious leaders were envious of him, his fellowship, hateful and hating one another, but after that, the kindness. See the contrast? But, and then the kindness. Folks, when the kindness of God enters our heart, oh, we might have little flare-ups of anger, let's be honest, right? Yes or no? Yeah. We might have little flare-ups of anger, but we know we can't live that way. Because that's taking away the joy of our salvation. We can have those flare-ups of disappointment. Oh, I can't believe so-and-so. I put so much stock in it. You know, the more you put into someone, the more you expect from them. That's why we're kind of hard on our children at some time. I'll be the first one to admit it. Look what I'm invested in you. Let's go. That's a word around our house, you know. You like that one, Stephen? Let's go. And don't we love our children and want the best for them? Yes or no? Folks, you think God loves us any less than we love our own natural children? Don't think one iota about that. Not on your life. He loves us all perfectly. So anything that we're going through is to draw us to Him and to draw Him out of us. Let me say it again. That means anything that we're going through is to draw us to Him and to draw Him out of us. Did everybody, Raymond, did you get that one more time? Okay. Anything that happens in our life is to draw us to God and to draw God out of us. Isn't the devil a snake, folks? And here we thought, God wasn't doing me well. Folks, the Lord is good. And He's good all the time, or He's not good at all. That doesn't mean all the choices that people make are good, even our own. Yes or no? But the Lord is good. And He's good all the time. God, why'd you allow that to happen? The Lord is good. And He's good all the time. Just fight right back with the word of truth. What will Satan attack? He will attack the character of God. That's the very first thing he did in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Oh, hey! You know, God's holding out on you here. You can have all these trees, but don't eat of that one. You know, God knows what will happen if you eat of that tree. So you'd be like Him. Big fat lie. No, folks, we've got to renew our mind in the truth. And have the joy of our salvation restored again and again and again. Because the down-dragging influences of the world are to move us away from faith in God so that we'll start depending on ourselves. You know, self-dependence is miserable. But depending upon the Lord is peace, joy, rest. So we need to be renewed. Here are some verses on renewal. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm begging you. That's what beseech means. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. See, it lays it right out, that salvation. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Had you laid all the facts out on the table, you would have moved them around and realized it's reasonable to serve God. Look what God's done for me in salvation. You would have reasoned that way. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. I'll just wipe the whole record clean. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, put to the test, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. It is the will of God. 2 Timothy 1:16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Paul's chained as a prisoner. And here's this other believer coming and refreshing him, wiping his face with the towel, washing his feet most likely, bringing him books, parchments, writing of the Bible. Paul was not only used of God, writing a lot of the Bible. Even this letter to Titus, the young minister, Paul writes to Titus, my own common son in the faith, you know. Brought him the Word of God. You want to refresh someone? Oh yeah, the hands-on things are nice. But are you speaking the Word of God to them? That'll refresh them. Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing. That's renewal. The joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. And this is one of my, that's one of my favorite ones. Here's another one. Lamentations 3:21-23. Anybody ever had any strong crying? You ever cried and cried and cried and got to the place you hardly had any tears left? Lamentations is strong crying. A man's going through it. His heart is broken over the condition in the nation of Israel. They're all going about their own forms of righteousness and not going to the righteousness of God. Might be a little depressed with that. Probably not clinically, I just mean emotionally. But this is what he says. This I recall to my mind. Boy, that's renewal. This I recall to my mind. Anybody need that today? Therefore, I have hope. What did he recall to his mind? This is what he recalled to his mind. Mind, we're going to think this. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. We're still here. Because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You ever had that when you open up the Word in the morning or at night? This is an everyday experience where you just come away from there and say, Lord, I thank you that you're faithful to me. I'm not always faithful to you, but you're always faithful to me. Help me to be faithful to you, to believe upon you, to depend upon you, to be in the Word. You have God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit working here in our salvation and in our renewal too. The Holy Spirit will remind you of the things of God. And all God's people say, Amen. Don't forget the beginning of your salvation. Look at verse 6. Talking about this washing of regeneration and renewing. Verse 6 says, which he shed on us, that's that abundant pouring out. He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That's the evidence that God loved us. We look at his sacrifice of his Son. I don't know if God loves me. Look to the cross. That's the proof of it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This idea of shedding on us or pouring out is a picture of a dark cloud that empties its entire water capacity in an instant. One of those real drenchers. We just had one a few days ago. Was it yesterday? Yeah. Boom. Water everywhere. You know, sitting in the car waiting for... Joshua said, no, I'm taking off, Dad. He looked like a drowned rat when he got in there. But me, I sat in the car and waited for it to come down to just a little bit. I said, I'm going to man up here. Honey, tell Maria to bring the umbrella out. I said, no, just forget about it. I got to do a few things. I waited out there so long. I finally came in. She with her rain boots and umbrella. I was just coming out to get you. We wonder. Oh, yeah. Poured out abundantly, soaked through and through with the grace of God. Remember the day you got saved? Remember the joy that entered into your heart? If you ever get off course, folks, go back to the beginning. Go back to the beginning. Remember when you stood at that altar with your husband or your wife? I think I studied for better, for worse, but just letting you know in case there's any trouble, you know. Nah, I didn't do that. I'm just kidding. Go back to the beginning. For richer, for poorer, for better, for worse. In sickness and in health. And it goes on. Got any trouble? Go back to the beginning. Go back to the cross. Go back in your mind. Remember where you were. Remember where you are. You're in Christ. And remember what's coming. The best is yet to come. When there could be no greater gift, no more abundant expression of grace, God's heart burst with love and he sent his Son to save us. Look at verse 7. What did that abundant grace poured out for us accomplish? Verse 7. We're justified. That being justified by his grace. Justified is a legal term. It means to be declared righteous. And folks, some of our Catholic friends have this wrong. They think that righteousness is infused over time by every act. You're basically earning your own salvation. I hate to say it. That's not true. Righteousness is imputed. It's placed into our account. And all of our sin is placed in Jesus' account on the cross. That's quite a big difference. One is earning the righteousness of God. One is receiving it. And you can't earn the righteousness of God. That's why it's called grace. And that's why it's abundant. That's why it's glorious. I've made this statement several times. It's almost a shocking thing. It's just a humbling statement because I'm not always living up to what I am positionally in Christ. I'm not always living up to what I am positionally in Christ. But here's the truth. I'm just as righteous as Jesus Christ in the eyes of God the Father because it's the Son's righteousness that's been placed in my account. I'm just as righteous as Jesus Christ in the eyes of God the Father because it's the righteousness of the Son that's placed in my account. Well, that's abundant grace. That's good news. That's glorious. Not only am I declared righteous, but look at we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The hope is a confident expectation that we have eternal life and we're an inheritor. Somebody say, I got an inheritance coming. I got an inheritance coming. Oh, maybe I should say have. Say that with me. After I say it, then I'll let you say it. I have an inheritance coming. Ready? I have an inheritance coming. And folks, listen, it's not a co-inheritance with Jesus. He gets a part and I get a part. It's a joint heir. Everything that his is mine. And the new heaven and the new earth that's coming, that's the way it is. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 4. Royal inheritance as a king or a queen. That's a word usually that common. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, that's caused us to be born into a lively or living hope. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, which he did 3 days after he died. To an inheritance, that's what we're talking about. Not only saved, but an inheritance is coming. It's incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it won't fade away. It was reserved in heaven for you. And just imagine, if you will, just a moment, incorruptible. It's not subject to decay. Can't even comprehend it. Everything around us has got the curse of sin. That's why we're all dying. We're under that curse of sin. But not on the inside. Amen? That's clean. Incorruptible. It's not subject to decay. It's undefiled, meaning pure in every way. Can we even imagine that? It's just pure in every way. Heaven's going to be pure in every way, and it won't be subject to decay. And the third thing it says about it, 1 Peter 1, 3 through 4, it will not fade away. That means it will retain its full beauty forever. Not subject to decay, pure in every way, and will retain its full beauty forever. That's everlasting life. Romans 8, 16 through 18, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, well, you'll suffer for the name of Jesus. Everybody doesn't have faith in Christ. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Of course, this heir statement recognizes our relationship to God as our Father. Super abounding grace to the chiefest of sinners. Romans 5, 19 through 21. For as by one man's disobedience, that's Adam, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one man, that's Jesus, shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense may abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin had reigned unto death, even so grace reigned through righteousness to eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. I saw one of these parking authority. You know, I don't get around much, but when I do, I like to watch things that expand my horizons. And so I was watching the parking authority guy in Philadelphia on TV. And people were just breaking the law over and over again, you know. And he's a black man, about 50 years of age, and he walked in and he said, there's a new sheriff in town. We're going to be law and order around here now. Nobody's getting away with illegal parking. Got it right here. Took a pat out, boom, 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 you know. Well, folks, may I say respectfully, there's a new sheriff in town. His name's Jesus Christ. And we don't get away with sin. He writes the ticket. And he nailed it to the cross and paid the debt himself and then set us free. We don't get away with sin. He pays for it. And that's grace. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. I feel just like John Bunyan, that old Puritan preacher, like Paul, who used to be a blasphemer named Saul. I know that grace is abounding to the chiefest of sinners because I am one. I am one. And I thank God for His amazing grace. What is greater than all our sin? It's the grace of God. Thank you for your loving kindness to us today, Father, through Jesus Christ, and reminding us of it. If there be anyone here today, dear Lord, who doesn't know what it means to be born again into the family of God through faith in your Son, may they believe upon you right now and be willing to share that with me right here after the service. Those of us who have trusted you for our salvation, dear Lord, renew our heart and our mind even now to walk in dependence upon you because of the cross, your greatest demonstration of grace. If you've given us your Son, what are other things compared to that? May we meditate on that today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you're dismissed.